Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing and concluding a series that I've been doing for 5.5 weeks, talking about financial stewardship. Today's going to be my last day to offer the materials on this. And I tell you, this has been a word in season. This is a God word for you during this financial situation. While the world is screaming and people are committing suicide and terrible things are happening because people's confidence was only in the flesh, you can have God's prosperity operating in your life. And I've covered some things that I believe have made a huge difference in people's lives. I really believe that. Today's my last day. I want to encourage you to please get the materials that we've been offering, because there's just a wealth of materials that I've already covered, and today's my last day to make that available. Yesterday, I started talking about the power of partnership. We've discussed all of these other things about being a steward and about how to manage our money, and when we do that, how God's prosperity comes. But if you want to move into the very highest realm of prosperity with God, you need to become a partner in the gospel. When you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in your finances, then God will add all of these other things to you. You know, I could go on for weeks just trying to make this point, but it really ought to be obvious that when you get beyond just using your money to purchase materials from a ministry to give to your church for what they have given to you, and when you start going beyond that and you start being other people minded and you give more than it costs for you to be able to get your deal, and instead you are helping them reach out and blessing other people, that's where the real abundance begins to start kicking in. The anointing that is on a ministry or on a church will flow towards you when you start partnering with them. And I'm defining partnership as more than just paying for your ministry, but it's going beyond that, making sure that what it costs them to be able to provide their ministry to you is taken care of, but then you give beyond that. Like our partners in our ministry give more than it takes for their materials. You know, we offer our materials on a donation basis. We say, you know, $7 is a suggested donation or whatever, but it will be for a donation of any amount. Some people give a penny, some people give a dime, some people give a dollar, and we send them. And of course, at that rate, we are actually losing money off of ministering to those individuals. But did you know, because of partnership, people who give more than it takes for their materials, we have around 50% of the people who give virtually nothing. They get my materials basically free. And yet, if you were to figure out this $7 per item that we offer and stuff, did you know we just nearly, if you were to take $7 times every item we put out, we come out with nearly that exact amount, because there's 50% of the people that may not give anything, but the other 50% give more than what there is, their cost of materials, and they are becoming partners and they're helping us reach out to people. See, when you do that, that's when the real blessings of God begin to kick in. Look at this verse. Now, this is going to take a little bit of explanation, but in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. You know, most of the time that's interpreted that if you give a gift, like for instance, you bring somebody a present, that just opens up doors for you and brings you before great men. It is talking about a gift, but in a sense, it's talking about a bribe. Like, I'm not sure that I can find this exact verse. Well, here it is. In Proverbs chapter 21 and in verse 14, it says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Did you know that that's actually talking about a bribe? And a bribe is a negative word, and to most people that's a turnoff. But a bribe is nearly always spoken of as being something that you use money for evil purposes to motivate a person to do something wrong. But all this is expressing in these verses, and there's other verses that have the same principle. It's just saying that a gift has power in it to do things. Now, we emphasize the negative power of that gift when we bribe people, but did you know I could take a $100 bill and I could say, I'm going to give this $100 to you, and I could give it to a person to entice them to do something wrong that is against their conscience, or I could give that $100 to say, you know what, I want to encourage you to seek God, and if you will seek God, I'll give you this $100. Both of those are a bribe, but one of them is motivating a person in a negative direction. The other person is, it's like a reward. You're motivating them towards a positive thing. All I'm doing is expressing that money, a gift, has power to influence people and open up doors and bring you before great men. And let me make this application that when you start using money to put into the ministry and to send the gospel, you know what you are doing? You are opening doors unto you spiritually. The blessing, the anointing that is on that ministry starts flowing towards you. And let me give you an example of this. 1 Kings chapter 10 is where the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. And just for time's sake, I'm not going to read all of this. But the fame of Solomon had gone around the world. He was the wisest and the richest man that had ever or will ever live, is what the scripture says. So that means that today, you take any of these Arabs that have gotten all of this money through oil and their palaces, you look at any king on the face of the earth, Solomon was greater in riches than any of that. And this news had gone around the world. So the Queen of Sheba came, and she came with hard questions to prove him. Now, let me just make some points here that should be obvious, but most of the time when people read this, they just skip over this. If you were to go to the President of the United States today, or to the King of any country, or the Prime Minister of any country, it doesn't matter who it is. If you go to any of those today, even if they are a third-rate leader, even if they aren't a godly leader and they don't have the favor of God on them, I guarantee you, you just can't walk up to their door, knock on the door, and get in. There's a waiting list. With most of those people, it'd be 6 months or a year. I believe with Solomon, it could have been 1 or 2 years or something. There were people standing in line to meet Solomon, and all of a sudden, the Queen of Sheba comes and boom, gets bumped right to the front of the line. You know why? Look at some of these. Let me just read this to you. It says in verse 10, after she had been overwhelmed and after she was so blessed, it says that she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now let me just explain to you what this amounts to. She gave 120 talents of gold. That amounts to 9,060 pounds, 144,960 ounces of gold. And you know, if you were to figure this out at $300, this is what I originally figured out, $300 an ounce. That means that the gold that she gave him would have been $43,488,000. Now, I don't even know what the price of gold is now, but it's closer to $1,000 an ounce. So you could safely say it was three times this amount. That would be $129 billion. Is that right? No, $129 million worth of gold that she gave. It also says that she gave spices, that there was such a great store of spices, nobody had ever seen that before, and that's bound to have been worth millions. She also gave silver. And notice this, I also thought about this. If one camel could carry 300 pounds of gold, then she had to have at least 30 camels just to carry the gold. And then the spices was more than that, so that would be another 30 camels for the spices. And then she's bound to have had an army and an escort to be able to accompany her as she went through all of these different lands to come to Israel. So probably, I would say probably at least 100 camels, soldiers, all of these things. Don't you know that that made quite a scene as she was traveling through the desert and headed towards seeing Solomon? And let's just suppose that as she went through some of these poor places, that beggars came up to her. And beggars says, could you please spare some of this? Here she had the equivalent of $120 million worth of gold, more spices and all this. And yet, if kings, if leaders of countries would have come out and said, why are you taking the richest man on the face of the earth this abundance? Why don't you take this money and give it to us? You are going to give the richest man on the face of the earth such abundance. Why does he need it? Instead, share this with us. Help us with our poor. I'm sure that poor people came out. This was quite an entourage. I'm sure it drew attention. I'm sure that beggars, I'm sure that people came up. But if the Queen of Sheba would have taken this money and have given it to people in need, if all she was motivated was by need and gave to people, then when she got to Solomon, she wouldn't have had this gift that Proverbs 18:6 says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. See, this gift granted her favor. It put her to the head of the line. She was using this money to be able to access the anointing, the wisdom that was on the wisest man who has ever lived. What a privilege. What an honor. And I can guarantee you, if there would have been politically correct people around in her day, they would have criticized her. Just today, like there would be people saying, why are you giving to this ministry that already has multi-millions of dollars coming in? Why don't you give to this poor person? Why don't you do this? And I guarantee you, we're being bombarded with this reasoning all of the time about give where the need is the greatest. Give where you're begged the hardest. Give where there's these desperate situations. And there are some times that, yes, it's appropriate to give that way. The Bible says that if you see your brother or sister in need, and if you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? You are supposed to give where you see a need, but that is not the dominant motive. I've already shared that you are supposed to give where you are fed. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's where you keep your food. When you're hungry, you go there to get your food. You should be giving primarily to where you are fed. And you know what? She was expecting to be fed from Solomon. She was expecting to get something from him. And so she used this gift as a door to just open up an opportunity to go speak to the wisest, richest man on the face of the earth. And it worked. And let me say this. I know that some people, again, criticize that and say she should have given it to all of these hurting, needing people. Well, look what happened after she gave to Solomon. It says in just a couple of verses down there, in verse 13, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. So she gave to Solomon out of her riches, but then it says that Solomon turned around and gave to her out of his abundance. And in the next verse, it says that the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Let's see if I've got this written down here. 666 talents of gold is 50,283 pounds of gold, or 804,528 ounces of gold. At $300 an ounce, that amounts to $241,358,400. If you were to round that up to today's figures, somewhere around $1,000, it would be over three times that. That would be over one, what would that be? It'd be close to $1 billion of gold came to him in 1 year's time. He was king for 40 years, and so that was $40 billion worth of gold that came to him. What I'm saying is that his abundance was so much greater than hers that she may have given him the equivalent of $200 million. But if she did that out of her resources, don't you know that the richest man on the face of the earth, when he gave to her out of his abundance, I'm sure she got back multiple times more than what she gave. And if she was prone to now try and meet the needs of people, she could actually meet them better. Let's say that she just had $200 million worth of gold going to Solomon. She came back with $400 million. Again, these are just figures I'm plucking out of the air, but I believe that it's safe to say that she left with more than she came with. And so if she had $200 million, maybe she would have been able to help a lot of those nations. Maybe she could have made a huge difference, but she couldn't have solved all of those problems. But now, coming back, she had twice as much. She could make even a greater impact. And see, some people just think, well, I need to give where the people are the poorest, where it's just benevolence giving, missions giving. There is a place for those kind of giving. But you know what? You also need to give where you are fed. You need to give where you see an anointing on that ministry. And by you giving, you know what's going to happen? That anointing, the favor, the blessing that is on that ministry is going to funnel down to you, and it'll prosper you. You know, in the context, what I've been doing here for 5.5 weeks, I've been talking on scriptural prosperity, financial stewardship. And if you've received this truth, I hesitate to say this because some of you are going to think I just taught on all of this just for a selfish purpose. That's not it. But I am saying that if you have been blessed, you know what the proper, right thing to do is? It's to give. And it's to all of a sudden, if you see the blessing, and if God has spoken to you, and if this has been confirmed in your heart, you know what you ought to do? You ought to become a partner. And as you become a partner, what happens is that this anointing that is on this ministry begins to start flowing into your life. I've given testimony that our ministry is up 20% while other ministries are down 8 to 10%. Our finances, personally, Jamie and mine, are up 26% during a time that other people are losing 26%. There is an anointing. There's a blessing on us. It's God. And I'm telling you that if you become a partner, then that blessing starts flowing towards you. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not magic. It's not without faith. But if you would take a step of faith and say, God, I want to be a part of this. I want to help get this word out. I want to help grow the Gospel Truth broadcast. When you start doing that, that anointing that is on us and that I've given all of these testimonies about how it's working, it begins to start flowing towards you. And you begin to start prospering. And then you can take that prosperity that's coming your way and you can go give to these benevolence things and do all of this. But there's a lot of people that just, they only give where they see this huge need. And I'm just one person. But I am doing my part to try and change the body of Christ. To where we give, not where we're begged. Not where we say that, oh, if you don't give, we're going to go off the air. It's not all emotional crisis deal. We need to change things to where the vast majority, 80% or more of our giving ought to be just give where you're fed. If you see a ministry that is changing people's lives, that is God anointed and used, be a part of that. Sow seed into that. Encourage that ministry, and the blessing and the anointing that rest and abide upon that ministry will start coming upon you. You know, this is the reason that we use the word partnership, because we really are partners in the same ship, in this gospel ship. We are together. And it's easy to see the benefit that partnering with the ministry does for the ministry. It enables us to go on more television and radio and to do things. But most people are just oblivious of how that partnership benefits you. That's the reason I've been teaching on this. The last step in this teaching on financial stewardship is to tell you that if you really want to move in to where the abundance starts flowing, according to Philippians 4:19, you need to become a partner. You need to start giving on a deliberate, on purpose way and become a partner with the ministry. I am not the only ministry that God is using. And so you know what? There's other ministries that some of you, maybe God has just supernaturally connected you with them. You ought to sign up and be partners with them. There's some of you that go to a church that you just give a token amount. You know, I was in church recently and they passed the buckets down the aisle, and the man sitting next to me, I don't know his situation, But I saw him open up his billfold, and he had a wad of money in there. I mean, a lot of money. And I saw him picking through all of those bills, and he picked out a $5 bill and put that $5 bill in that bucket. Now, it's possible that he had already given his tithe check. It's possible that a lot of things. But I'm just saying, it looks like that out of the hundreds of dollars this man had to choose from, he just took $5 and put in that bucket. And I looked at the man. The man was dressed poorly. The man looked like he was in financial crisis. He didn't look like he was doing well. He certainly wasn't one of these people that was all dressed just proper and wearing these fancy suits. And you know what? His demeanor indicated that he was struggling financially. And I saw him put $5 out of hundreds of dollars in the bucket. And I thought to myself, no wonder you're struggling financially. I'm telling you what, if you go to a church, you ought to be giving. You ought to be a part of that blessing to that church. I'm not saying this just for selfish motivation. Again, I know that people automatically question my motivation, and I can't stop you from judging me, but I'm telling you, I'm saying this, I believe, directed by God. This is God telling you that some of you, when you give a little tiny bit here and a little bit there. You aren't on purpose, deliberate givers. And because of it, you're going to struggle financially the rest of your life. If you are going to truly prosper, you have to do what we've talked about. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. You need to recognize that the reason God has caused you to prosper is so that He can establish His covenant here on this earth. The reason God wants you to work is so that you can have to give to him that needs. God makes all grace abound towards you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. It's not just to pay your bills. God is blessing you to make you a blessing, is what He told Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God wants to use you to be a blessing to other people. And yes, you do that in many ways, but the last thing I've talked about is partnership. You need to line up and become a reliable, trustworthy part of a ministry. And if you'll do that, God's going to bless you. You know, I've got a big vision. I'm going to at least have to double what I'm doing right now to fulfill the goals that God has given me. It's going to take a lot of money. And you know how God does that? He touches the people that give to me. I don't have the money. God hasn't given me any one way of doing this. It's other people. So if you want to really prosper, find a ministry that is doing good, that's anointed by God, that needs a lot of money, and become a partner with them. And you know how God gets the money to the ministry to get His gospel out? He sends it to the partners first. If you want to really prosper, become a partner with a ministry that's doing something. And I guarantee you, God will cause you to prosper so that He can make you a blessing. That's some good news. You know, this is the end of my teaching on financial stewardship. This has been powerful. I really encourage you to go to the effort today of calling or writing and receiving this whole album entitled Financial Stewardship, or the last teaching in this entitled Your Partnership in the Kingdom.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The sixth teaching in the audio CD album, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO20C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is the last day for the sixth teaching in this 6-part album as a free gift to you, or it's our last day to make this offer on financial stewardship, the entire 6-part album over television. We, of course, will still have it available, but it's the last day we will promote it. So if you are going to get this, please go to the effort of calling or writing today and requesting these materials. I believe that many of us now realize that this world system is not the way to prosper. There is a godly way to prosper, and that's what this teaching is all about, entitled Financial Stewardship. Please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.